I love the Music Box Theater on Southport. I mean, that is such a bustling area near Wrigley Field anyway. But, you know, I kind of worry about old theaters. I think that sometimes they're going to kind of fade away, and many have in Chicago. Buck Leppard is here from the Music Box Theater on Southport for Steve Dale's Other World. Buck, congratulations on all the great things you're doing there.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks very much for having me today.
I mean, did it look at one point like this theater was going to kind of, as I described, this very old, I'll talk about some of the history in a minute, that it was going to kind of fade away?
It's definitely, it's had its ups and downs over the years, but pretty much, you know, the Music Box was built in 1929. It started out as actually one of the smaller movie theaters in Chicago, you know, a mere 750 seats compared to the, you know, 1,300 or 1,200 seat theaters downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to sort of change and adapt over time.
Why was it called the Music Box? Do you know?
I don't know.
Did they do live music and play movies there? Does it go back that far?
Believe so, yeah. And we've had an organ since the very beginning, which we still use.
Yeah.
We've still got organ and we play music accompanying silent films on a regular basis at the theater, as well as, you know, music during pre-shows and everything like that.
So you'll, like, do Charlie Chaplin movies.
Yep.
And do the music like they used to do. Explain, for those who don't know, what we're talking about, because the idea is almost incomprehensible today.
Yeah, well, we have a fantastic house organist, Dennis Scott.
With an organ.
With a pipe organ
that
we play at the theater. And once a month we'll do a screening of a silent film. In the middle of January coming up, we're doing a bunch of Buster Keaton silent shorts, so a bunch of his early short films, and we're going to be playing those on screen, and then have our organist playing a live soundtrack along with the movie with a totally original score that he comes up with.
That was my next question. So those scores, are they lost? I mean, the original scores that was originally played, say, with the Buster Keaton movie, they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, well, because, you know, in the early silence, when films didn't have a soundtrack, is they would, you know, send them to movie houses around the country, and it was on your house piano player or organ player or whoever to just accompanying along with the film. And yeah, generally, like, a lot of those scores have been lost to time. They just, as with a lot of early film stuff, things were not maintained well. But, you know, we try and capture what it may have been like during that time.
People don't come dressed up as though it's 1920 anymore.
No, we don't require that. No.
So, but you have lots of other things too that you offer there. And they include some of the more interesting cult movies.
Yeah, we once a month, we still, on Saturdays at midnight, we play the Rocky Horror Picture Show, one of the absolute cult classics.
Now, there they do dress up, right?
Yes, there they do dress up.
Yeah.
Not quite in the same way that people did in the 1920s, but yeah, we got a lot of fishnets, a lot of corsets and makeup.
It's amazing that movie is still, after all these years, that it still has followers that want to come and see it, and they play right along.
Oh, yeah, and it's we have a shadow cast that performs in front of the theater, and it really feels like a rite of passage for people, especially, you know, it's been going on for generations now. We have people whose parents were doing it, and, you know, older siblings. It seems we get a lot of college kids. It seems it's very popular with, you know, freshmen in college, their first big city experience. One of them is going to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight. Yeah.
I did that in college. I won't tell you how many years ago that was. And it was the same thing. And they're still doing that. That's incredible.
Yeah. It just celebrated its 40th anniversary last year.
Wow. Now, you also show Buster Keaton movies would certainly fit under this bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Vintage movies, but a lot of them don't go back anywhere near that far.
No. That's about as early as we get, but we do a lot of classic films from every era. Every Valentine's Day, we do Casablanca. Every Christmas, we do It's a Wonderful Life in White Christmas.
This year, too.
Including a sing-along with Santa before the film, accompanied by our organ.
So that's one of the things. I mean, there are a few kids' movies that come out every year at Christmas. I mean, mm-hmm. contemporary current movies, but not many. Just a couple. The neighborhood you happen to be in is very kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Is this sort of do you think for maybe not Rocky Horror Picture Show or for some of the other movies we'll talk about, heartily kid-friendly, but are you also thinking, okay, what can we do for families? And what you just mentioned certainly fits under that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we love doing kids programming. A lot of the older films, you know, things like It's a Wonderful Life are very family friendly, and we do a lot of events like that.
So is it the color version or is it the original?
It's the original.
That would be bad, wouldn't
it? It's not the Ted Turner hand-painted color version.
Would you have complaints if you did the color version, do you think?
Oh, I definitely think so, especially if we just sprung that on people when they got to the theater. And because we've been doing the Christmas shows for about it's our 33rd year this year. And if we just – it's a huge tradition. We get, you know, people who say, look, we've been coming for 10, 15, 20 years. When we started coming, it was just me and my husband, and now there's 30 or 40 of us. And people are very particular about their Christmas traditions. And
so what do you think it is that people keep coming back to see that movie on the big screen as opposed to a movie – I mean, today you can see that probably on Netflix. You can certainly buy the DVD and watch it in your own home
in June if you want. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, what is it about seeing some of these movies on the big screen as opposed to the comfort of your own living room?
Yeah, I mean –
I know your popcorn is better, but beside that –
We try and, you know, remind people that going to the movies, it is a communal experience. It is a shared experience. And you might have a very nice home theater, but like there's really you can't beat when the lights go down in the theater and it's you and 200, 400, 500 other people. And we also offer a lot of other entertainment aspects along with the movie. Each of our Wonderful Life screenings is preceded by there's a sing along with Santa, and we project the lyrics on the big screen, and our organist plays along. And we really try and remind people of like the classic theater experience. You know, we still have a red curtain that goes up at the start of every show, and our ceiling is painted to look like a night sky with twinkling stars, and we have a cloud machine that wafts over the audience head. So we try and really appeal to, a grander film-going experience.
So how many times have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I've probably seen It's a Wonderful Life over a dozen times, and I've seen the last scene of It's a Wonderful Life probably nearly 100 times at this point.
And probably true for many people. So here's my question. For movies, and that's not the only one. I mean, there are other movies that you show that are classic movies throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
So for those types of movies, do people – that you've got to know what the next line is. Mm-hmm. There's no surprise. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, unless you're under the age of maybe 12, that you've not seen that movie multiple times. So do you have people mouthing the words, or when I can't even think of the character's name, but the banker, what's his name?
Oh, Mr. Potter.
Thank you. Thank you. Couldn't think of it. So when Mr. Potter says, I wish I could do the Mr. Potter voice, but he says, he rumbles.
Lionel Barrymore.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas in jail.
Yes, exactly. Do people kind of, are they ahead of it? Do they actually say the lines?
Oh, yeah. We get a lot more reactionary. You know, as soon as Mr. Potter shows up, people just hiss and boo the screen. Everyone knows what's coming as soon as he appears on screen. We do every Thanksgiving weekend, we do a sing-along Sound of Music, and it's an interactive screening, so we have a host come out beforehand. Everyone gets prop bags with little things in them, and so it's like, you know, as soon as, you know, when, you know, as soon as, you know, Julie Andrews appears on screen, I want everybody to cheer, and as soon as the Baroness appears on screen, everybody hiss, and when, you know, when Julie and Christopher Plummer kiss at the end, you know, everybody cheer, and we have, you know, the little champagne poppers that people pop, and the little pieces of Edelweiss in the bag that people can wave around during that musical number, and we have a few screenings like that throughout the year. Every Valentine's Day, we do The Princess Bride.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's just a great, you know, Valentine's Day thing. We only started doing that one a few years ago. We were trying to think of something new to do for Valentine's Day, and I said, what if we did The Princess Bride and we do it the way we do some of our other screenings? Mm-hmm. So we watched the movie and said, all right, here are like some things people could do during the film. And
did they love to participate? Is that part of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you don't have to do – now, also, one more thing. Mm-hmm. On Christmas Day, you have some interesting – We would call it in radio counter-programming.
Yes, this is we've talked about it many years.
You should serve Chinese carry-out, by the way, as you do this.
Yeah, this will be the first year we're doing a Fiddler on the Roof sing-along on Christmas Day, which coincidentally is also the first day of Hanukkah.
This year, yes.
This year, yeah. We've talked about doing it in the past and just have not done it yet, and this we're finally going to give it a try. And so we're really hoping that people are excited about that. We're excited to put it up on the big screen. We haven't played it in a while.
And what are some of the other movies that you've put up on the big screen? Classic movies? Just rattled off two or three or four of them.
Yeah. December 26th through 29th this year, we're going to do the first three Indiana Jones films, put all those up on the big screen. Every year we do a 70mm film fest. And in the past, we've done things like 2001 A Space Odyssey and Ghostbusters and, Lawrence of Arabia, all different sorts of films throughout the year.
But you also do cult movies. Mm-hmm. Rocky Horror Picture Show is hardly the only one. Might be the only one you do semi-regularly, but
yeah,
fairly regularly.
One of the newer ones we have is this movie called The Room, directed by Tommy Wiseau.
What is that?
It's become pretty much the quintessential. It was made in 2003, and right now it's like the quintessential so bad it's good movie. Like, I could explain the plot to you, but it wouldn't do service to it. Just if you're looking for, like, really bad line readings and awkward scene transitions, that's another one where people will shout out lines ahead of time or shout out responses ahead of time to give you a small idea of what it is. For some reason in this movie, one of the characters' apartments is decorated with small framed pictures of spoons. They're never commented on. It's just sort of lazy set dressing.
Uh-huh.
So every time he walks past one of those pictures, people in the audience will bring bags and bags of plastic spoons. And as soon as one appears on screen, people will just throw these plastic spoons in the air. And just at the end of every screening of The Room, the theater floor is just totally covered in plastic spoons. You can't see the
hysterical
carpet underneath. You walk around and you just hear plastic cracking underneath your feet.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the person who has to clean up mm-hmm. the theater that night. This is like a perfect job for you, it seems. What's your background?
I went to a liberal arts college. I studied theater and I studied business. And
you a movie buff?
I am a movie buff. I'm a big movie buff.
Do you get to choose who decides The Room
mm-hmm.
or whatever movie it is? How does that work? And then how do you know it's even available?
Yeah, so we're for older titles and like the repertory programming. We're a small team at the Music Box. There's about, six of us who are making these decisions, and we're very collaborative. We're always on the lookout for one of our big programming things is we do a lot of new films. We do indie films and foreign films and classic films. But we're also looking back at, like, all right, what haven't we shown in a while? What are we have our Facebook and Twitter and, people requesting things regularly, sending us emails. We look out to, like, are there any special anniversaries of films coming up? We just did a double feature screening of Star Trek II and Star Trek IV to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Star Trek mm-hmm. this year. And we're just thinking it's a little bit of wish fulfillment of, like, all right, what movies have I not seen recently? Would I like to see in a movie theater? That's a pretty big reason we're playing the Indiana Jones films this year.
Aha. Okay, the truth be told.
Yes, yeah. There's some selfishness involved.
Yeah. So it's interesting that people can communicate with you directly and say, mm-hmm. hey, this is the kind of movie I want to see, or specifically, this is the movie mm-hmm. I want to see in some cases. You know, maybe this is where I should have begun the whole thing, because it's so important now, these indie films.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching the Academy Awards as a kid, and it was a category, but it wasn't one that was broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now it not only is broadcast, but it's featured. And I think they do a whole separate awards that have to do with the Academy Awards for indie films.
Yeah, the night before the Academy Awards, usually every year, there's the Independent Spirit Awards.
Yeah,
and I think
right.
they have like a budget restriction of like movies made for less than, $15 million or $10 million.
Hard to think that's low budget.
But, I know, but yeah. Not for you or I.
No, exactly. So these movies are some of the best movies we have
mm-hmm.
at times. I mean, some of the most important movies. Sometimes they're documentaries, but mm-hmm. sometimes they're just movies, you know, but really just low budget but high quality.
Yeah.
So how do you find these movies?
We have relationships with a lot of different distributors, people we go to regularly, and, you know, and they'll send us information of, like, here's what we've got coming up, and we'll see what we can fit in our schedule, what we think our audience would be interested in, and, you know, just keeping an eye out for great movies that people would not have a chance to see if it wasn't playing at the Music Box. We get to work with some very exciting, like, you know, up-and-coming emerging talents, and, you know, playing films from, you know, different areas and around the world, or, you know, independent filmmakers that, like, you know, if we weren't going to be playing it, it might not be on screen in Chicago. And a lot of these smaller films, if you don't have people pushing for folks to see them and making people aware, like, they can just fall through the cracks. And I know it's always a shame when, like, I find out about some movie that came out 3-4 years ago, and it's, you know, this amazing film that, like, I did not hear anything about this when it came out, and it would have been wonderful to see this in a theater, like how the filmmaker intended it to be seen, instead of watching it on my laptop or something. But
all right, so let's give me an example of a movie that over the last year or two, mm-hmm. the Music Box has shown that we should all be kicking ourselves because we weren't at the Music Box watching this movie. An independent movie
mm-hmm.
or a small movie.
Yes. So, like, one of the ones we had over the summer is we played this movie called Don't Think Twice. It was an independent comedy made by Mike Birbiglia, the stand-up comedian, and produced by Ira Glass of This American Life. And it had some notable folks in it, you know, Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele.
Sure.
And Gillian Jacobs from Community. But it was a small film made, written and directed by Mike Birbiglia, made for very little money. Mm-hmm. And about a group of comedians and improvisers trying to make it in the comedy scene, like something really close to his heart. And it was, you know, one of those things where Mike Birbiglia came out for a preview screening, and then Ira Glass came out for opening weekend, and people came because they were fans of those guys and they were going to be there. But while they were there, they're like telling all of their fans, like, if you enjoyed the movie, tell everyone, because you are the ad budget for this movie. It's people going on Twitter and saying, like, I just saw this movie and everyone should go see it.
Was it a great movie?
It was, yeah. It really, in Chicago, such a great comedy town. You know, we had all these people from Second City and I.O. and Annoyance coming out saying, like, that was me on screen, or I totally understand what they're going through, and they really captured the experience well. And those are one of the things the Music Box loves bringing to people, is that connective experience and, like, letting you see yourself on screen, or letting you see, you know, we had a lot of people who are not comedians who walked away with a greater understanding of, like, oh, so that's what it's like for these people on a day-to-day basis.
And not easy, actually.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Some of what you do is more in the documentary mm-hmm. mode. I know there was just a nature film.
Yep, we're playing there was a film we opened recently called Seasons. It's a French documentary, a nature documentary. If you like Planet Earth, Seasons is sort of in the same area as that. The film is actually distributed by Music Box Films. We have a film distribution arm
really?
Of our own. Yeah.
Wow.
It sort of spun off of the success of the Music Box. It was just getting started when I worked at the theater, or when I first started working at the Music Box. And initially they would, you know, find foreign films or documentaries or small independent films that maybe they were going to open overseas, but they didn't have distribution in the United States, and started off working to get, like, you know, 3 or 4 films a year, send them out to other theaters and other markets so people around the country would have a chance of seeing them. And it's grown to, I think, you know, this past year it was something like 20 feature films, including Seasons. A couple of years ago we had this film called Ida, this Polish film that ended up winning the best foreign language feature at the Oscars. So that, you know, to watch the company grow in that respect,
wow.
and to be like, all right, how can we bring these sorts of great, you know, potentially underseen or overlooked films, not just to Chicago, but, like, to the United States as a whole? Music Box Films has been doing excellent work distributing those and getting the word out about those films.
That is very, very cool. So you have first of all, what's the website for more information?
It's musicboxtheater.com, and theater is spelled with an R-E at
fancy,
the end.
Fancy, fancy. All right. So you have, and this is fascinating to me because it's a unique way to think about going to the movies. Mm-hmm. You have a membership club. Am I describing that right?
Yep. It's a little over a year old. It's one of the ways we looked to connect with our audience a bit more thoroughly and give people, you know, more of an experience when they come to the theater. But we have a membership program right now. It's an annual membership. You can sign up, and things that it includes is, you know, you get discounted movie tickets, you get bottomless popcorn at the concession stand.
What?
Yep.
What?
Endless refills. And we have a once
you,
a month.
You have to buy the first one, and then the refills are free?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have once a month, we have members-only screenings. So we'll, and that varies from like maybe it's a sneak preview of a movie that's coming out. Maybe it's a classic film that we're going to put up just for our members. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something with a director Q&A or an actor Q&A, like special access to special guests. And it, again, it's just been a great way to engage with the people who are coming to the Music Box. We have, you know, people get discounts at a lot of local restaurants near the Music Box.
But there are many local restaurants that are really good that are right near the Music Box. I mean, that in of itself to me is of interest.
Yeah, it's a wonderful
because most people go to the movies. I mean, they'll eat before or maybe after, depending on what time they go to the movies and what time they like to eat. But there are so many good restaurants around there. So that in of itself kind of could pay for itself if you eat enough, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't tested that thoroughly, but yeah,
I'd be happy to for you, by the way. When it comes to eating, I'm happy to test it out. How can people learn more about it?
It's on our website. There's a membership tab at the very top of our website. You just click on that, and it's got all the information about becoming a member. You can sign up for a single membership, or you can sign up for a dual membership if, you know, you and your spouse love going to the movies together, or if you just got a really good friend, a good, you know, your go-to movie-going companion.
Sure, and it's the price point is interesting. So for two people, it is not twice as much as it is. You get a discount there too, right?
No, yeah. It's $50 for a single membership or $80 for two.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. And, you know, you figure if like, all right, among that you're getting, you know, if you at the very least, like if you're just coming to the member screenings once a month, that's 12 free movies a year. You get discounts on tickets to, you know, every one of our movies and special events, and you get early notice on things like our Christmas show tickets are highly coveted. Those shows
sell out.
They sell out, and they sell out. You know, we keep adding more shows, and they keep selling out, and they sell out sooner and sooner every year.
Good for you, yeah.
Yeah, but in one of our membership perks is like, all right, if you're a member, you know, you can buy tickets a few days before we release them to the general public.
That's cool. And it seems to me if you go to five or six movies, get a refill on popcorn each time, and you go out to eat and get the percent off, whatever that is, a couple of times, three, four times.
Oh, yeah.
It pays for itself right there.
Yeah. You're doing all right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you get to go to the movies.
Exactly.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you, Buck. Thank you very much.
Thanks very
Give
much,
us the
Steve.
Website one more time.
It's www.musicboxtheater.com, and we're located on 3733 Southport Avenue, right in between Addison and Irving Park. So we're just a few blocks away from Wrigley Field.
Yeah, as it turns out, and we should have mentioned that sooner. So, yeah, it's just a couple blocks from Wrigley Field. Have fun at the movies.
Thanks very much, Steve.